May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Hymn 393.
Together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. The Gospel according to Luke, we read chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Almighty, thrice holy, eternal, yet merciful and gracious God, O help us to come before thee now, that we might come unto the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Ghost. Lord, teach us how to pray, and what to pray for, as we would come before thee, the King of Kings, and how a hymn writer once penned, with heaven and earth at his command, He waits to answer prayer. We would be thankful for another opportunity granted to us to gather together in thy name, to come to worship thee this night. And may we be true worshippers, worshipping God in spirit and in truth, ever being mindful that man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Oh, to be a true worshipper. Thou, God, seest me through and through. Draw us unto thyself and favour us this night with thy fell presence. We do believe that thou art omnipresent everywhere, that there is no place where thou art not. But Lord, in that special way, in that blessed and sacred way, may Jesus himself draw near and come with us tonight. And Lord, preach unto us the things concerning thyself, and grant to us that heart burning. And Lord, open to us the scriptures. Oh, how the psalmist cried, give me understanding. Give me understanding of the word of God and the way of life. Oh, give me understanding of a precious Jesus. Oh, give me understanding of that need of him to save me from all of my sins. Oh, Lord, do grant us that right understanding of thy word, that right understanding of thy gospel, that right understanding of those things which accompany salvation. Oh, give me understanding. And may we be found amongst those who grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, to know him as our Lord and Saviour, to know him as our Redeemer, our near kinsman, our good shepherd, our helper, our counsellor. Oh, to know him as our beloved and our friend, as our all and in all, the one thing needful. Lord, remember such who have turned in this night. Should there be found any here yet dead in trespasses and in sins, without any real concern of their never dying souls, any satisfied with a lamp of profession, an outward show, an outward appearance, Lord, in mercy, awaken and quicken and call them by thy grace. Oh, bring them into want, into that great need of thy rich mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That great need of the precious Jesus and his precious blood and his spotless righteousness, and to be found in him. Oh, do bring such into concern. Pluck them as brands from the burning. Bring them out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. Call them by thy almighty, free, sovereign, yet irresistible grace. Oh, may there be joy in heaven tonight over sinners brought to repentance. Lord, let thy work appear. Oh, convict sinners of their sins. Lay the sinner low. Oh, teach them the plague of their own hearts and that great need of a mighty Saviour who alone can save from sin. Lord, remember such in whom that work of grace has begun
And truly they begin to be in want. Oh, they begin to understand what it is to be a sinner, lost, ruined, guilty, vile, undone. Oh, Lord, and how they mourn, how they confess, how they struggle. Oh, that I had not of myself. Where must I go or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? Oh, may such souls become seekers, seeking thy mercy, and seeking that door of thy mercy, and seeking a precious Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. I am the door. If any man entereth in, he shall be saved. O, draw such unto thyself. Those who long to find thee, long to know thee, long to be found in thee, long to be made sure. Those who have been seeking long, and fear that they shall never find. Those who long to believe, and yet fear to presume. Oh, those who long for that good hope through grace. Oh, to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine, and I am his, that all is well for time and for eternity. And yet, Lord, they feel to be outside of the secret. Oh, they fear that they're not one of the elect, not one of the chosen, not one of thy sheep. And yet those cries, those pleas, those supplications, oh Lord, remember such and be pleased to reveal thyself. Remember, dear souls, blessed that good hope through grace. Lord, on pilgrimage in the way, oh, Lord, and do edify and comfort and encourage and strengthen and go before, supply every need. Remember those who are tempted, and those who are tried, and those in distress, those being sorely attacked by Satan, that malicious foe, those who feel to be in darkness and have no light, those who feel the wind is contrary, so many problems, so many difficulties, longing for the Lord to appear, for the Lord to come. When wilt thou come unto me? Thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Those who need a confirmation that they are in the right way, that their religion is real, of God the Holy Ghost. Those who greatly fear they've learnt it all in the head. Oh, bless them, Lord, and may thy good spirit bear witness with their spirit that they are the children of God. We would remember each one gathered here tonight, from the youngest to the eldest. Remember the babes, remember the little ones, remember the children, remember the young people growing up into life. Oh, be pleased to put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. And remember them for good, and be round about them, and guard them, and guide them, and provide for them. May they be taught to pray, or to remember there's none too young to pray. And be thou their prayer hearing, and prayer answering God, that they may prove there is a God in heaven, merciful, gracious, kind, and faithful, who hears and answers prayer. Do remember, dear parents, oh, grant much grace and wisdom in this evil day to bring their children up aright. We pray for all in the midst of life, for many burdens and cares and responsibilities. Oh, we think of that petition of the psalmist, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Remember older ones also in declining years, and the grasshopper becoming a burden. The shadows are lengthening. Oh, Lord, bless them in their latter days and comfort them with thy love and strengthen and bless them. We would remember those who would be here if they could. Pray for any who are laid aside in affliction, weakness and infirmity. Lord, remember such. Remember those at home with little ones. Remember those in lawful employment. Do remember such away at this time, Lord, who see a number or away. Bless them where they are. And at that appointed time, bring them back again in peace and safety, but grant a favourable time seeking rest and change. So, Lord, remember this cause of truth. Maintain it as a cause of truth, where the truth is known and loved and preached. Oh, bless the church with peace and love and harmony, unity, prosperity. Remember the officers, grant much grace, much help. And each one in the congregation. Oh, grant those Holy Ghost additions according to thy will. And do help thy servants who minister here from time to time. And may they come as sent of God. Lord, remember the churches. Remember all the gatherings of thy people this day. Not only in our own land and nation, but throughout the whole earth. Oh, we pray for those who gather together in great fear, concern, the authorities. It may be inclement conditions and difficulties and lands where there's warfare and unrest. Remember thy people. Undertake for them. Protect and bless them. Oh, how thankful we should be for the many privileges yet bestowed upon us and many blessings that we have. Oh, we would be truly thankful. Remember our land and nation, Lord, at this time. Have mercy. Oh, have mercy, Lord. A nation that has forsaken God. A nation that has gone a-whoring after the false gods of the world. Oh, the wickedness, the abominations, the evils. Oh, what a sad, sad day it is. But, Lord, there is a little remnant of praying souls who sigh and cry over the abominations done in our land. And though we would be thankful, truly thankful for the ingathering of the harvest, yet troubled to see how they're gathering it in on the Lord's day. Lord, have mercy. Be pleased, Lord, to raise up a leader, oh, who seeks to do that which is right in thy sight. Oh, Lord, mercifully appear and intervene. Our eyes are upon thee. Hear, Lord, our poor prayer. Make up in giving where we have failed in our asking. But hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. And forgive our every sin. Help us through this service. And following the service, take us each back to our homes in peace and safety, with a blessing. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 141. Behold the sure foundation stone, which God in Zion lays, to build our heavenly hopes upon, and his eternal praise. Hymn 141.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and from verse 8. Luke 18, from verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and from verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It is more the latter part of this verse which has rested upon my spirit. And when it came to me a few days ago, I felt troubled, being a similar subject that we tried to speak from here on Tuesday evening concerning faith and true faith. But such is the word I trust the Lord has given me to speak from here tonight. A very searching word. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And he speaks of a time when the Son of Man cometh. Now it may be the end of the world that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, shall return. And that day shall come. I just mention, I don't know how many of you here receive the little magazine called The Sinner Saved, being a journal of the Huntingdonian Press. In the last issue, there was an excellent piece by Matthew Hyde concerning the end of the world. A few points he makes concerning the end of the world, that one day it will come. This world in which we live will not continue forever. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. That one day this world will end, when the Son of Man cometh, returneth to the earth in his power and glory. Then secondly, nobody knows when that day will be. There seems to be a lot of people predicting a lot of things at this time. It may well be that we are living in the very latter days. We do not know. We do not know when that day will be, but that day shall come. But then, vitally, to be ready against that day. We know not when the Son of Man cometh, but that he shall come, as he himself speaks, as a thief in the night. Blessed is that man that watcheth. Blessed is that man that is ready. And dear friends, it is imperative, it is vital that we are ready. I just need to mention the parable of the virgins. Five are foolish, five are wise, five were not ready and never entered in and were shut out, but five were ready and they entered in. Very solemn, very discriminating, and yet very true. So the vital thing is, when the Son of Man cometh, to be ready. Watch and pray. Watching against that day, being prepared. But that day does not take us unawares that we are ready. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a wretched worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Oh, when the Son of Man cometh, may it be our mercy to be ready. Now, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I personally believe that he shall find faith on the earth. the Lord has always had a little remnant of souls who believe in him. And I believe down to the last day, there will still be a little remnant of souls who, through the Spirit's teaching, will believe on him. They shall have faith. But we do wonder here, shall he find faith on the earth? Or there may not be much at all. There may be very, very few. And certainly in our nation, there has been such a declension. Such a declension in vital godliness, in real religion. So few there are who have true faith. We cannot really speak for other nations, but I know in what is termed the Western nations, it appears to be the same. A sad declension. Has there ever been a day like this since the Reformation? Or shall he find faith on the earth? But then, consider again the words of the Lord Jesus, when one said to him, are there many that shall be saved? Well, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For strait is a gate, narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, whether it's few or many, may we be found striving to enter in at the strait gate, to be found in that narrow way, that way of life which leadeth unto eternal life. And that is faith. Striving to enter in at the strait gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the door, is the way, is the truth, is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, whether few or many, but dear friends, it's vital for you and me to be blessed with that faith, to be found amongst that little remnant of those believing souls who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. Shall he find faith on the earth? I find this question very searching and very probing. Now, we can look around at others. That's very easy. We can ponder and think and judge others. But what of you? What of me? Shall he find faith on the earth? Do we have faith? We read, don't we, that all men have not faith. And this is that true faith, that God-given faith. It's that grace of faith that the Lord gives unto his people, saving faith. Shall he find faith on the earth? Not just to believe in God. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe in God. And they tremble. But it's that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing him to be the saviour of sinners, and coming to him as such. When I first considered the passage to be read, as you know, I don't always read the passage from which a text is taken, but I just looked at the closing part concerning that blind man, and I felt so settled to read the whole chapter. You see, here is saving faith. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith save thee. Now, what do we read of this man? He was blind, yes. By nature, we're all spiritually blind. But he was a beggar. He was a beggar. Nobody wants to be a beggar. Nobody wants to take that position of having to sit by the wayside begging. But then, before I continue with this, think also of the teaching of the Lord Jesus concerning the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who lived sumptuously every day. And Lazarus was a beggar. And it would appear that throughout his life he was a poor beggar in a very lowly state and condition. Now, of course, nobody wants to be a Lazarus. By nature, being proud and covetous would all rather be that rich man living sumptuously every day. When the Son of Man cometh, the end of their lives. We're not told how long they live for. The rich man may live to be a very old man. But you see, the word of God is so true. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And then what of that rich man? He's no longer a rich man. He was a rich man for a few years here upon this earth, and he lived in luxury. He fared sumptuously every day. He looked down upon that beggar Lazarus. He, if not despised him, pitied him. But then Lazarus, a beggar, is no longer a beggar. In the bosom of Abraham, that is, with Christ, which is far better. Remember, these accounts are spiritual. That rich man was completely taken up in the things of this world, the cares of this world. He didn't have any time for the things of God. Now, I know we can think of Lazarus being a beggar, begging for food and such things, but what a mercy to be one begging for mercy. Oh, begging the mercy of God, begging the pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins. Again, we read of those two who went to the temple. Well, one was a rich man. He was full of himself. He was so rich he could tell God how good he was, how full he was, how proud he was. But the publican was a beggar. Have you noticed that? He was a beggar. He was begging God for mercy. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he had sinned against God. And isn't this where the Lord brings all his people to beg for his mercy? They don't demand mercy. They don't dictate to God for mercy. It's begging. The poor use of entreaties. Or when one knows something of what it is to be a sinner in the sight of an holy God, having sinned against God, and then to be taught concerning God's mercy in Christ Jesus. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, we come back to, as it is believed, blind Bartimaeus, a beggar, a poor beggar. But when he heard that it was Jesus passing by, they said Jesus of Nazareth. And often that was used in a derogatory term to put him down. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, that poor place in Galilee? But you see, the blind man responded, Jesus, thou Son of David, thou promised Messiah, thou Saviour of sinners, who should come to save his people from their sins. He cried out to Jesus. Remember, being blind, he couldn't literally, physically see the Lord Jesus, but he believed that he was there. Oh, how he cried out, hearing that Jesus was passing by. And in the word of God, in the preaching of the gospel, the Lord Jesus is passing by. Oh, to be a poor, needy beggar, crying out for mercy. Now, they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. They told him to be quiet. No place for a poor beggar to be crying out. But he cried out so much for more. This is faith. This is saving faith. This is faith in the Lord Jesus. And again, remember, he couldn't see the Lord Jesus. He could body eye of faith, but he couldn't see him physically. But he cried out the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The cry of a poor, insignificant beggar upon the earth caused the eternal Son of God, the Lord from heaven, to stand still, to hear and answer his prayer. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Lord, that I may receive my sight, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Remember there, he's physically, literally before the Lord Jesus. Lord, that I may receive my sight, Lord, show me thyself.
reveal thyself to me as my Saviour and my Redeemer. Grant to me that glimpse of thy dear face showing thyself through the lattice. Or have we come tonight seeking Jesus that we might look up and see no man save Jesus only? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Receive thy sight. Thy faith have saved thee. The Lord Jesus spoke similar words to various others. I think one was the woman only called a sinner in the house of Simon the Pharisee. There she was weeping, tears of true repentance, confessing her sins, washing his feet, wiping them with the hairs of her head, and oh, broken-hearted, contrite-spirited, truly humbled. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I believe also the Syrophoenician, who again came to the Lord Jesus in need of him, Lord, help me, and how she wrestled with him in prayer. Thy faith hath saved thee. That saving faith, that faith in the Lord Jesus, believing in him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. So in that coming to him, there is that diligent seeking him. That is faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or do we have faith? And I mean true faith, living faith, the faith of God's elect. That saving faith, that faith that cries unto God for mercy, that faith that looks alone to the Lord Jesus. I do believe that the rich young man who came to Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I believe the one thing he was lacking in one sense was faith. He turned away sorrowful. He had riches, he didn't want to part with his riches. He wanted to keep his riches. He thought by obeying the law of God as he considered he had to be saving, that he would inherit eternal life. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One thing thou lackest. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And how Martha had to be taught that lesson. Martha, Martha, thou careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Oh, how one can be full of religion and yet lacking saving faith. Or may the Lord grant to us each that true faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, really it's been laid upon my spirit to speak in the context of the verses here, the Lord Jesus speaking this parable, and that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, if we are blessed with true faith, then we shall be found praying, a praying soul. You think of Saul of Tarsus as the Pharisee, similar to the Pharisee here, full of religion, full of good works, full of himself, being brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the leading Jewish teachers of the day, we might say one of the best universities. And he knew the Old Testament scriptures in their original Hebrew, and he knew them so well, and yet he didn't know them. And in his zeal, he heard of this, as he would term it, a sect of those who believed in Jesus of Nazareth and believed that he rose again from the dead, and he was determined to stamp them out, to bring it all to naught. He wasn't content with those words of one who said, if it be of God,
it will stand. If not, it will come to nothing. He was determined to take matters into his own hand and bring it all to nothing. A religion of the flesh. No doubt he said many, many prayers, perhaps in the temple, in the synagogues, and perhaps at street corners and other places where the Pharisees stood and prayed. But he never prayed. He said prayers, but he never prayed. Oh, how is it with you? Have you been taught to pray? Rather than just saying prayers in a repetitious way, is prayer wrought out of your hearts? Of course, it is right, it is good, it is proper for parents in that sense to teach their children the importance of prayer and praying. But really, only the Holy Spirit can grant true prayer, prayer indicted from above. Now, when the Lord began that work of grace in the heart of Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord dealt with him and humbled him under his mighty hand, then, although he may not have known it at that time, he had that witness from heaven that, behold, he prayeth. If ever you see a Pharisee being turned into a publican, you see it there. From one who before was telling God what a good person he was, now begging God for mercy because he's such a wicked person, being such a wicked sinner. Now he knew something of the plague of his own heart. He knew that no good works he had performed could ever save him and deliver him from the wrath of God. But it's that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believing in him as the one and only Saviour. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now that the Lord will teach all his people to pray. Now there is praying for things providential, and that is good and that is right. And we have many needs, many troubles, many problems, many difficulties, many hard causes. But it's a wonderful thing that we have one to go to. It's been such a help to me over the years. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, I will hear it. Maybe a word in season for one tonight. You have a cause, it's too hard for you. Like Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I just think also of that prayer of a Syrophoenician. Lord, help me. And I refuse to believe that a soul will be taught to pray to God for help, even in providential things, and the Lord will deny that help, God forbid. He will help. The Lord will send help. He is able to help. He rideth upon the heavens in his help. He is the helper of the helpless. And when things seem hopeless, the Lord is still able to help. Fear thou not, I will help thee. A wonderful promise. And yet, for these things I will be inquired of. So the soul must be taught to pray and pray to God, Lord, help me. And in many, many other things also. I must just mention this regarding true prayer. Really, we have that warning in James, don't we? Ye lust and have not and cannot obtain because ye ask not. Now just consider that for a moment. Because ye ask not, you do not pray. You may think, you may plan, you may scheme, you may attempt, but you do not pray and you receive not. And that is why, because you do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, may the Lord help you and teach you to pray. But then ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What is the end of your prayer? Is it to satisfy or gratify your lusts? Is it that you might become proud and boastful? I mentioned earlier today where I was concerning Naaman the Syrian. and he was a mighty man of valour in a great position, highly respected in his position in the army, but then he was a leper. But then that maid, captive maid, was instrumental in speaking the word of God. Remember, at that time there were no written scriptures. I know there was the law of God for the Jews, but there was no Bible as we have it. And yet really that maid was instrumental in directing Naaman to the prophet in Israel, to the Lord God of Israel. And he believed. He believed that one could heal him. So he ventured, but first he leant upon his own understanding, and he went to the king of Israel rather than the prophet that is in Israel. And then, seeing the mistake, he then goes to the prophet. But he comes with his own thoughts. He would come, as it, if he will, prayerfully, that he might be cured of his leprosy, and believing that the prophet in Israel, the God of Israel, could cure him. But he had in his mind that the prophet would come forth and do some spectacular act, some great thing, that he might glory in the flesh, Naaman, that he might return back to Syria, and that he might make a great show and be very proud how the prophet so dealt with him. But as we know, there was nothing of that at all. The prophet didn't even come himself, but sent his servant. Go dip 7 times in Jordan, and thou shalt be cleansed. And Naaman flew into a rage. He was outraged that the prophet did not come. There was no spectacular event for him to glory in. And the thought of having to go down to Jordan and dip there, that was beneath him. He wouldn't do that. Can I not go to the rivers in Syria and wash there? Well, if you want to, you can, but you're not going to be saved. That was the word of God, and that was the will of God. And yet he was prepared to return back to Syria in a rage as a leper. I've often thought it was very wise servants who came to him and reasoned with him. If a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? Well, yes, of course. Well, why not do this lesser thing? And humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. And he did. And he went down to Jordan, did 7 times, and came up completely cured. All the wonders God alone can do, but there will be no glorying in the flesh. There will be no room for pride. So it is a warning, really. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts, your pleasures, yourself. Oh, how we need the Lord to teach us to pray aright. And I believe every child of God, in all matters, providential, spiritual, desires to pray aright according to the will of God. Do not want to pray amiss. Now, what a mercy to pray. So I mentioned there is prayer concerning providential things. The Lord does hear and answer prayer. The Lord can perform. The Lord can provide. The Lord can help. The Lord can make a way. And so on. Indeed. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But then, of course, there is our never-dying soul. A never-ending eternity, a soul to be saved. Oh, that saving faith, that praying for God's mercy, oh, that praying for forgiveness of sin, salvation by grace through faith, that believing in the Lord Jesus, that saving knowledge of him, that faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praying concerning our never-dying souls. Oh, how we will cry day and night unto him. Lord, save me for thy mercy's sake. There will be confession of sin, acknowledgement of our iniquities. Oh, we will come before the Lord truly broken and contrite.
but seeking his rich mercy, and mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me.
But here in his parable, the Lord Jesus is, we might say, emphasizing this point. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
If you will, to continue in prayer, to persevere, or to pray without ceasing, in that belief that God hears and will answer prayer. The Lord Jesus speaks this case of this widow and the unjust judge. And really, it was by her continual coming. Mark those words. By her continual coming. Now, the unjust judge would be troubled that he would be wearied. He thought of himself. And yes, in that sense, one can be wearied. But here the Lord Jesus is speaking of the judge of the whole earth, Almighty God. And he is never wearied. Never wearied. If you can understand me, God will be wearied with his people when they do not keep coming to him. And that he must teach them and instruct them and discipline them and counsel them and correct them to keep coming to him in prayer. Oh, at times we're so prayerless. At times we faint. We give up because we have no answers, because all there seems to be nothing. Let me think of Elijah and the promise of rain, and the servant going up, looking over the sea, and bringing back that report. There is nothing. And I rather feel there are those here tonight, and concerning your cries and petitions, spiritual, providential, and you keep looking for answers, you keep looking for the Lord to appear for you, and there is nothing. Let me just say, I've said it before, that the number 7 in Scripture is a definite number, between 6 and 8, but it's given as an indefinite. And it speaks of a continuing. Go again 7 times, not literally 7, We think also of Peter saying to Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Until 7 times. And Jesus says, not until 7 times, not even until 70 times 7. But continually, as God forgives the sins of his people, continually. Until 7 times. And you and I keep looking and thinking, there is nothing. And we begin to faint. Or we begin to faint thinking, it will never be. It will never come. And dear friends, it is so easy to give up praying. And you have that temptation to give up praying. And you think, what's the point? My prayers are not heard. In this you are wrong. Your prayers are heard. We don't like to speak of Jeremiah speaking untruths, but when in the Lamentations he said, also when I cry and shout, all my prayer he shutteth out. God never shut out his prayers. Even when he was sinking in a mire in a pit, the Lord never shut out his prayers. But the Lord heard, and the Lord would answer, and the Lord hears your poor cries. I actually remember preaching here a number of years ago now from those words in the Exodus concerning the children of Israel. And they were yet in Egypt, and they were suffering under the taskmasters. Their lives were an absolute misery, and all what they were enduring. They had the word of God, as Joseph, when he was dying, said, the Lord will surely visit you and bring you up out of this place and take you into the promised land. And that was the word of God to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, children of Israel. But the years had passed, and there was nothing. And they were fainting. They were fainting. There seemed to be no hope. Now, I think the words I preach from, and God heard their groaning. Oh, they were groaning. They were groaning under the strain, they were groaning under their conditions, and they were groaning because the Lord hadn't appeared. Oh, they were being brought right down, emptied of all hope in self, any confidence in the flesh, of anything they could do. Their only hope was in the Lord their God, hearing and answering their prayers. And I know their sorrows. The Lord spoke unto Moses, and I am come down to deliver them. That set time had come. Not 40 years previous, when Moses fought to take matters into his own hand and slay the Egyptian. No. 40 years later, 40 years under the taskmasters, 40 years of still groaning, 40 years of in the afflictions and the sufferings. But then it was God's time. That set time to favour Zion, that set time to appear. As I mentioned earlier, we know not the time of the end of the earth, neither know we the time when the Lord shall answer our prayers. Dear soul, pray on. Pray on. Does Satan tempt thee to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name? Pray on. Nor shalt thou seek his face in vain by her continual coming. Oh, may it be by our continual coming, which cried day and night unto him. Day and night, literally, in the daytime, in the night hours, crying unto him, but also spiritually, in the daytime, when, well, the Lord may be shining upon us and at our prosperity, and we try and pray unto God. But then, at night time, it was now dark and Jesus had not come unto them. A night time in the soul, or when the Lord hides himself and what doesn't feel the Lord to be near, and things are so dark and distressing, still to cry unto him by her continual coming. Oh, pray on, pray on. You see, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, that fear of making shipwreck of faith. That fear of our faith, if you will, collapsing, giving up, giving way. Giving way under the temptations, giving way because there seems to be no hope. A time when there appeared to be no hope was when the Apostle Paul and others were on that ship in that awful storm which raged and raged and raged day and night. And when neither stars nor the sun appeared for many days, and all hope that we should be saved seemed to be taken away, faith giving way, there seemed to be no hope, then the Lord appeared. Often the way the Lord works. Oh, when one is reeling to and fro, staggering like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Or when faith seems to be giving way, then the Lord appears. Or shall he find faith on the earth to cry mightily unto him? And just thinking of that, you think of Jonah. But you think of Jonah going to Nineveh and preaching that awful sermon against them, that within 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. They didn't laugh him to scorn. They didn't make light of the word of God. They didn't reject it. They didn't despise it. They didn't cast him out. They believed the word of God, from the king down to the beggar. And they put on sackcloth and ashes. They humbled themselves before God. Although it was the word of God, within 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, yet that cry of faith, of hope, who can tell? Who can tell? Perhaps one or another needs such a word tonight, and you know what you're passing through, you know what you're suffering, oh, you know what you're enduring. Who can tell? I've often thought of those words being rather like a chain or cord, binding a child of God to the throne of grace. You're ready to give up. You're ready to turn back. You're ready to pray no more. There seems to be no hope, but in the God of hope. Who can tell? Who can tell? Even in a day of adversity, in such a dark day, when all hope that we should be saved seem to be taken away, who can tell in a merciful and gracious God? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith still to cry to him, faith still to look to him, and faith still to trust in him. You think of Job. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, that the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful. But what Job passed through, how his faith was so tried. And Satan sought to cause him to make shipwreck of faith, to destroy his faith. But Satan failed. And Satan will always fail. Because the Lord's people, by that faith given to them, shall overcome. Gad, we read, a truth shall overcome him. And in that sense, Job was overcome, but he shall overcome at the last. And he did overcome at the last. Ah, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh, to have that trust in God. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, though things may be so bad, though the world may be turned upside down, although Satan goes around like a roaring lion or as an angel of light, though there seem to be so few, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, what a mercy if he finds faith in our hearts. That we are those blessed with that true and living faith, looking unto Jesus, running with patience the race that is set before us. Have faith in God. A prayer we can always pray, Lord, increase our faith. We'll never get beyond that. And we think of faithful Abraham, who was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, though it seemed so impossible. Now, I don't know that you may have an impossibility, literally. You look upon it and it's impossible. It cannot be done. Did you notice in verse 27? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Do you believe that? Shall he find faith on the earth? You may feel it's impossible for you to be saved. Oh, but look to Jesus. But with God, all things are possible. You may have a situation, it's impossible. And as soon as we can be persuaded it's impossible, then we give up praying. We do not believe that even God can make it possible. I understand there's a hymn, I think it's one of Hart's, but not in Gadsby's selection. Faith laughs at impossibilities. You and I don't laugh at impossibilities. They may frighten us, they may concern us, they may gnaw and crush us. But faith, God-given faith, laughs at impossibilities. It shall be done. Or may we not be left to limit the Holy One of Israel, to put a limit upon what God can do. But may the Lord bless us with that true faith in believing in him, especially to the saving of our souls. I tell you, the Lord Jesus, the merciful Saviour, who speaks the truth, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That he will avenge them, he will answer them, he will appear for them, he will deliver them, he will undertake for them, he will provide for them speedily. He rideth upon the heavens in his hell. Speedily doesn't mean immediately, but it means when he will avenge, he will do it speedily, in a moment. Ah, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, when the Lord appears for his people, sometimes it's very suddenly, unexpectedly, and yet wonderfully. Like Manoah and his wife, who looked on while the angel did wondrously. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach for us on Friday evening and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.